Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I just love giving the gratitude over to Don Newsom and staff at BBS Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood and positive media. I have a outstanding treat for you tonight. Her name is Marie Diamond. She is my guest, leader and visionary in the feng shui world, a feng shui master. And her mantra is, so within, so without, so without, so within, meaning what's inside, you bring outside, what's outside, you bring inside. And that's what balance is. So I'm going to give you her website so you can pull that up, being this is internet radio. Excuse me, I'm fighting off a cold and I'm winning. www.mariediamond.com, I will spell that, www.mariediamond.com. And it'll pull up a page that offers you an opportunity to go down to the bottom left and click on continue on to the website, which will get you access to everything else that Marie has to offer on her website. So I'm going to give you a bit of her background now. Marie Diamond is the creator of Diamond Feng Shui, and she's an internationally recognized feng shui master, personal coach, business consultant, and star of the film The Secret. In addition, she is a businesswoman, lawyer, mother, and wife. Marie is committed to personal and planetary transformation through the application of energy principles in the environment and everyday life. Marie's international clients include petrochemical and software companies, banks, fashion houses, spas, hotels, restaurants, and film and theater production companies. She's also served as a personal feng shui consultant to individuals and families, including well-known celebrities in the entertainment and publishing world. Marie has seen many lives transformed as a result of simple changes made to their homes or workplaces through Diamond Feng Shui. Marie is a founding member of the Transformational Leadership Council, which I believe is started by Jack Canfield, if I'm not mistaken. And without further ado, I will bring on for you Marie Diamond. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to have you on because being everything is energy, and that's what we all are, and that's what can be manipulated to attract what it is that you want in your life by the Marie Diamond Feng Shui method. And I'm excited to hear you tell us how you got involved with that.
Well, you know, as many teachers, they first have some personal crises, Kate, and I'm sure everybody on the spiritual journey can, you know, give consent to that and say, yeah, that's true. You know, when you grow, you have certain crises. And one of my major crises started when I was 15, and I had a major accident where I had a near-death experience, was in coma for a while. And when I woke up, I asked my spiritual master, everybody had encountered since my 7 years old. I asked him, you know, what do I do wrong? You know, I've been trying to be a great 15-year-old. I mean, I was a straight-A student and, you know, a great daughter for my parents and totally not a rebel, just the other side, you know, just really a wonderful young person. And he said, well, you just have bad feng shui. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he explained that my environment, you know, I was reflecting something, and it got connected in with some of my inside fears and inside old programs, and that I attracted this accident, because there were three in a row, actually, and the third one was almost fatal. And so I was actually okay, and so he gave me some suggestions, and one was to move to another room, and I actually moved to a room where my oldest brothers had lived, and they always had so much fun in that room. I mean, a lot of friends came along. They had parties. And I was actually very lonely also. I was not only having accidents. I had no friends.
Right.
I was bullied at school. Really, you know, not in a great place except my studies.
Right.
And the moment I arrived in that other bedroom, I changed it. I gave it another color that was indicated by my spiritual master. And within a week, I had the first love of my life.
Oh.
And he was really handsome, so that worked great. And and the bullies that, you know, really sometimes beat me up, within a month, they totally transformed. And, you know, I know that something in me shifted inside of me by being in another environment.
Right.
And, of course, I started attracting different things in my life. Mm-hmm. They kept actually continuing that research and study, but that was like actually what totally changed me in understanding how important an environment was to my inside and also to, you know, again reflect back to my outside life.
Right. Wow. And just that slight shift in energy.
Yeah, it did.
Just everything. Well, I know that as a person, I don't, this analogy might work for what you just said. We'll see. When a person has lived their lives telling themselves lies about themselves, mm-hmm. then they attract everything that will support the lies they tell themselves. Then when they stop believing the lies that were told to them, being they are the main character in their story, the entire story changes, correct?
It does. And, you know, in feng shui, there was a concept that when that was told to me by a feng shui grandmaster, it totally clicked for me. And I was, you know, came to understand that there are three kinds of good luck, three kinds of ways to look at the laws of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part, and that's 33.3% that affects you,
mm-hmm.
we'd call it heavenly luck. We would call it karma
mm-hmm.
or destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, well, everything in your life is karma. Now, feng shui masters say that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually only 33.3%. And so you have already a law of attraction, you know, set up by your soul. You know, some talents you have, some challenges you have, some people you're going to meet
mm-hmm.
because your soul wants to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with you when you're born, and you play this out. Now, I believe some of these things can be changed through meditation and insights, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another third, and it's called human luck. And that's actually based on your original design, I would say, that you came in with. You will start, and the things you encounter in your life, you will start programming yourself with your thoughts and your feelings and your actions. And so you can actually change that by reprogramming your thoughts and your feelings and act differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another 33.3%. But the feng shui masters are saying that there is another third that is overlooked by so many, and that's actually your environment. It's called your earth luck.
Mm.
And your environment actually has its own law of attraction. So every home, every office, every place has laws of the universe working for it. It's an entity in itself. It's an energy field. And the feng shui masters found out 4,000 years ago the cycles, how the law of attraction moves around, and you get into different things you attract. So I say sometimes to people, you know, you have always chosen that home. Okay,
uh-huh.
There's something in you that chose that home to experience what it is. And it's possible you had great romance until the moment you moved into that home, and from that moment on, it was like nothing anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps your relationship broke down, and it's hard to get a new, you know, loving person in your life. And then when I come in and I look at it, it's so interesting. Then I say, well, you know, everybody that lived in this home was always became single or stayed single.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they check this out, it is true.
Yes.
And it's because that home is what we call a temple energy.
Mm-hmm.
And in a temple energy, you know, romance is not really the focus, it's your spirituality.
Right.
And then these people have been really spiritual, okay? And they say, yeah, I've been evolving a lot here, but romance was not involved. And they said, but, you know, that was not my focus. I wanted romance. And said, yes, but one-third of the law of attraction, what is your home, was actually telling a different message to the universe.
Mm.
And that message is 24 hours a day.
Right.
Because we want to perhaps change something in our lives by changing our thoughts and feelings and actions and our karma. And the thing is, it's hard sometimes, you know. You know how that is. You really try hard to change yourself, but your environment is working 24 hours a day and giving daily messages constantly to the universe. And if that is contradicting what you want, then it's like clashing. It's hard to accomplish. You're able to do certain things, but it's like you don't have what we call the wind in the back. It's like with more effort, it's more difficult, and we want to attract an environment that is effortless for us, that makes us, that supports us in the destiny we have here
mm-hmm.
in this world. So that's really what feng shui is about, is to find and activate and cure, if necessary, your environment so that your soul can totally bring forward in this world what it's supposed to do.
Right.
That's really what the meaning of feng shui is to me.
And that's been pre-programmed into our DNA, what we sprung forth to come here to do.
Well, we have, you know, definitely put that design up in our DNA.
Yes.
And but we need to also understand that a home has also a DNA of its own. And so you need to find a matching DNA.
Yeah, where you can resonate, where your outside resonates with your inside.
Yeah, and if you don't have that, it's really difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And when you create that balance of what's outside inside and what's inside outside, then you're in harmony and attracting the things that you do want in your life.
Totally. And,
yes.
You know, a lot of people are focusing on as above, so below, and the other way around.
Right.
What is fabulous,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the other way.
Yes.
And that's what I really want to focus on to people, to understand that it's great to connect with above and manifest that below, and you're the God in creation, but there's also that your environment and you inside of you needs to be in balance.
Right, right. So, being that you were born in Belgium,
how did you
get introduced to the grand masters such as Lilian Tu and Yap Cheng Hai?
Well, it's, you know, this is how things work for me, and it always has been. You know, at a certain moment when I asked my spiritual master, okay, give me, you know, the information I need. He said, well, you know, around, you know, you're 30. You know, you will be ready to study with the masters and the grandmasters and in feng shui. So I kind of waited, and at a certain moment I got a birthday gift from my spiritual master saying that the first book in Dutch, because I speak Dutch, was out in the bookstores, and with a little money gift, and I went to purchase it, and a month later I was already in London, and a year later, within a year, I was already studying in Malaysia, and it was like suddenly that all started happening, and I knew already a lot, but not like the more advanced information.
Right. So it wasn't just innately in you, this information, and it got ignited.
Well, I think I always say, well, I'm sure in the previous lifetimes I've done all this because it was so easy for me to understand
natural.
This information.
Right,
yeah.
Very innate. Could you describe for our listeners, Marie, what dowsing is?
Yes. You know, dowsing is a very old ancient technique that is known in almost all ancient cultures, from China to the Native Americans, to the Druids, to the Egyptians in Egypt. Some Jewish tradition know this. It's actually finding they used tools, and they used mostly wooden sticks to find water underground, to find a well.
Ah, okay.
And
it's like
so,
a mining rod.
Yes, dowsing rods.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a more advanced technology that you can do that also with metal, copper.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually now find all the stress lines that we are living on, like geopathic stress, that means like fault lines, water running under our house, interference zones from electricity, like Wi-Fi and cell towers, and so anything that, you know, really stresses us.
Mm-hmm.
And so dowsing really is to find a solution and to cure all the stresses that come in our environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can have great feng shui, but if there's a lot of stress in your environment, it's very hard for your health to build up a great immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually more advanced than what the Druids did at that time, because they only looked for finding where the center of a village would be.
Mm-hmm.
They made sure that where the elders would, I would say, speak with each other or sit in a circle, that would be a positive vortex, a place where heaven and earth are in total alignment.
Right.
And they would build, you know, their huts around it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would make sure that, like, the pathways or the streets of that the Romans were using were specifically on certain lines where that when the soldiers would march on it, they would actually not be so thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually using the magnetic field of the earth in their favor and making sure they were not sitting on places that magnetically were disturbing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's kind of the old tradition. And I've been using this for a long time, and I came and encountered that through another crisis in my life when my father died.
Mm.
And I found out through a dowser that he had been sleeping on a cross line of geopathic stress just where his stomach was. Now, I'm not saying this was the cause of this, because he had tremendous problems in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're then sleeping on such a cross line, then the problem that is in the DNA will come out stronger, faster, and it's harder to cure it with the medicines and the supplements you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Because at night, there's a constant pressure on that organ or a constant pressure on the body.
Right.
And then people have a harder time to sleep and to be, you know, concentrated. So when a house is doused, it's really amazing. The prana level of a house totally shifts.
Mm.
And it's like within an hour, people smell a different air. It's like it's like a veil. It's like you wash the air. It's like so crisp and clean.
Mm-hmm.
But people sleep so much better. The kids are much more peaceful. You know, dogs and animals just love the energy. Plants grow. I mean, it's really interesting how like a whole house can realize, come
mm-hmm.
to life again.
Yes.
And even a business starts attracting much more clients, because the stress lines are better and the people working in it feel much more stronger.
Right, right. And have you ever encountered a situation amongst your clients, your many clients that you've helped to find balance in their lives through the work you do? Have you ever encountered a client who literally was living on top of an ancient Indian burial ground?
Oh, yes. Well, it's quite interesting. I never had that experience in Europe, so when I moved here almost 7 years ago, that was an interesting experience. And I had this one person that was my first client that I ever encountered that, and her son actually had a major accident and died.
Mm-hmm.
And the week before he died, he was drawing all the time. He was in his 20s already. He was like a little bit in a certain trance, always angry Native Americans.
Ah.
And he was drawing all this. And all these images were around her home because they were like the last things that her son did.
Yes.
And I looked at them like, what is this? And she started explaining this. And their business was failing. Her other son was, you know, already very much into heroin. It was like her husband was drinking like crazy. And I said, you know, you're on a Native American burial ground.
Wow.
You really have to piece this. And so I tuned in, and I'm sure I had past life memories, and I started chanting, and I started really honoring, and they had to do some, you know, the spirits were really telling me what they needed to do to appease them. They did everything. They said the man's business went crazy within a month. They actually stopped being, you know, gone from their addiction. They didn't get their son back, but they came to peace about the loss of their son.
Yes.
And it was the first time I experienced that, because for me that's kind of new,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Native American traditions.
Yeah.
And not similar traditions anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So, but since then, this is always something, you know, I teach people that this is one of the things you need to honor. And people are just sometimes not aware of the strength and the beauty of such a burial ground, and you need to honor that.
Yes. So basically, if somebody does have that issue or a similar issue like that, like perhaps their house may be built on top of what used to be a cemetery,
mm-hmm.
rather than have to leave the house or tear it down, they can just make peace with the spirits and make peace with the land and make peace with the energy there, correct?
They can. And but it is a choice that they make, and some people don't make that choice. And I always say there's a reason why you were attracted to buy or rent this place.
Yes.
Because perhaps you have a purpose
mm-hmm.
to help, you know, the spirits cross over, or to, you know, help them to make peace with, you know, the land or with their karma or
yep.
with their family. So there's always, when people have, you know, gone to attract such a place, there is a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's possible they don't accept that purpose
mm-hmm.
and then they better move.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Or the goblins will come out.
Yeah.
So being everything is energy, and you're exquisitely sensitive to energy, what would you say to the listeners out there who feel like they're not very sensitive to energy, to help tune them in to their environment, to see if they would perhaps need to have your services?
Well, you know, when you are not so sensitive to it, I would say see what other people are saying when they come in your home. Like one of the first thing when people have a problem is that they will not invite anyone to come to their home or their apartment. They will try to avoid bringing people in.
Hmm.
And it's because they feel somewhere this is not an inviting environment. It's not a welcoming energy, or the energy is not that high. And so a lot of people, when they don't have an environment that is strong, they don't invite people, and they don't stay there a long time. Like, they come, perhaps drop off something after their work, then they go out, and mm-hmm. they just come to sleep there.
Right.
Okay? So there are some indications that it shows, you know, that environment is not supporting your being and who you are, because you try to avoid it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the same can happen with, like, if your bedroom is not the greatest place for you, it's possible that you fall asleep behind your television downstairs in your family room or your living room, and it actually indicates you try to avoid to sleep there.
Right.
So if you try to avoid things, it's a huge indication there's something wrong, because a place that is great feng shui and is totally stress-free, people love it. They don't want to leave. You know, when I have guests, I have to really kick them out. You know, I really do. I had many parties in my life. And they're like, guys, it's 12 o'clock. You know, I want to go to bed.
Right.
And they're like, but, oh, I love it here so much. Because there is a feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a home that is, you know, people love to hang out on it, and it's perhaps not the most beautiful, but the energy is great.
Yeah.
People have a tendency to love to be in great energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be sensitive. It's like a basic instinct
mm-hmm.
that we know that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so places that everybody loves to come to, they love to hang out to, then it means there's something great going on there.
You know, as you're saying that, there's this coffee house I've been going to for 9 years now. It's called the Aroma Cafe, and it's in Studio City off of Hunga at Moore Park. I've had every life coaching session that I've done at this coffee shop, every meeting for my business, social encounters. I met the love of my life for the first time for coffee there. And honestly, Marie, that place is so busy that you have to stand in line for sometimes a half an hour to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And I know that if that neighborhood had a heartbeat, it would be the Aroma Cafe.
Well, you know, it can be, of course, great coffee that they have.
Well, the coffee's good, but it's...
But there's something more.
It's the energy. And they've got this wonderful bookstore with gifts in it. I'm looking around my place right now, and I've got so many things from that gift shop. I've got a lamp that's a half moon with a child fishing with a star on the end of his fishing line. I've got, you name it, things I wouldn't ordinarily go and buy in a gift shop. I just have to buy them there. And it's a wonderful experience. It really enriches my life. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm just knowing that the Aroma Cafe has something going on energetically in a feng shui kind of way. Have you been there before?
No, I haven't, but I will definitely now try it out.
Well, let's go there and have coffee.
I would love that.
Awesome.
If tea is there, I'm coming.
Oh, there's that great tea. Yes, I call it my aroma office.
Okay, well, that's great. But you know, that means there is something there. And of course, I don't know the feng shui of it, but, you know, the dowsing level is perfect.
Yeah.
Perhaps they have a positive vortex. If
mm-hmm.
you have a positive vortex, it always attracts people.
Right. And, you know, half a block away, there's a restaurant that's had, oh, gosh, I would say 5 different businesses in the past 8 years.
Yeah.
It cannot thrive for some reason. And, you know, when you'll drive by places and you'll keep seeing them change owners and change owners and change owners. And you think, well, wow, geez, that place has some bad karma in it or something, because, you know, it's not, nothing is working there. And
well,
it's probably,
that's one of the issues that environment can perhaps be totally pushing clients away, and they don't even know it. And that's what it's so, unfortunately, that I've been to places like that people call me and they're like, Marie, I don't know, I done everything right. And I mean, I had businesses before, they flourished. I come here, it died. And, you know, there can be many things.
Mm-hmm.
There can be, first of all, that, for example, like you have a positive vortex perhaps in the Aroma Cafe, that there's a negative vortex there, that means it's draining.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of, you know, I would say lost spirits can come into such a place.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's possible that, you know, there are some spirits hanging out there that just doesn't like all this busyness.
Yeah.
And kind of drives them gently out of the door.
Right.
It can be just a feng shui, sometimes a rotating door. Like, I've had a hotel that was just doing awful.
Uh-huh.
And the door was rotating the wrong way.
Oh,
for
really?
That business. So we put the door in a different rotation, and it was just like within a month, it was like 40% more, and it was like going on and on and on, and there's one of the top hotels now in Belgium. So it's actually how the flow is,
right.
How colors are. I mean, I've been once to a restaurant, and this person was really doing very well.
Uh-huh.
Until it was, unfortunately, an interior designer had the amazing idea to hang out the kitchen tools on the walls in kind of frames.
Uh-huh.
But who wants to eat when the knives are hanging above your head?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So it felt very uncomfortable, okay? Uh-huh. And I told this person, I said, get rid of all this. You have no idea how much I paid this person. I said, I don't care. Just get rid of this. Try it at least. And within a few weeks, he said, it was like interesting. People before that were passing by that were like, oh, I didn't know you were here. He was already there a year.
Uh-huh.
And old clients came back and said, oh, we love it so much more. We hated this thing. And then people start talking. And it's just sometimes a great idea, interior design-wise, can be a very bad feng shui idea.
Right.
You know?
Somebody I think you should team up with is Mark Brunetz, who is the host of...
Yeah, I know him personally, yeah.
I thought you did. And, you know, I think the two of you would make a very dynamic duo for a TV show.
Well, you know, to be honest, we have been talking about that.
That's wonderful. I'm very psychic, I guess. So one thing I do know about what you just said about the restaurant and how the interior designer had these jagged objects out displayed for part of their decor... I happen to know for my own well-being and feeling of comfort in my home, if I've got jagged objects around, I get them out of my sight, put them away, because it just makes me feel uncomfortable. Like jagged things, like you wouldn't want to take a knife and stick it in a loaf of bread and serve it on your dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something about jagged edges, pointy edges.
Yes.
That are, what does that do energetically? Because it's just an instinct I have, and if I could have you elaborate on what that is.
Okay. Well, flow of energy, of chi, always has to be curvy, round, oval, because then, you know, there's an eternal energy to it. Everything that is sharp or edgy is like the flow has to go in this sharp corner
mm-hmm.
and is stopping.
Right.
So, if you have, like, for example, long hallway and then you have to go straight around the corner, it's like energetically that's not working out.
Right.
Okay? So you can hang something left and right to kind of create some flow. But everything that is sharp energetically is actually a certain attack of chi.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So I always explain this way. I said, look, we see our body, but we forget we have an aura field.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And even if that knife or that cactus or that sharp corner is far away from your body, it's not far away from your aura field.
Right.
And so that aura field feels that there's a little pinch coming.
Right.
Okay? And so it kind of, you know, perhaps doesn't react to it, and sensitive people will, but everybody actually will react to it over a certain amount of time.
Right. Okay?
So, for example, if you have, like, a sharp beam above your head when you sleep, I mean, your aura field kind of lifts up while you're sleeping. You know,
mm-hmm.
it kind of lets go a little bit of the body. So that aura field will be connected with that beam. And when you wake up in the morning, that aura field has received pressure. And what will happen is it cannot energize the physical body so well. And then you're not so active in the morning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the aura field feels that. Now, some people have... you know, kind of a small aura field because they're not always so evolved. But there's some people, their light is so bright and so shiny,
uh-huh.
they feel it much faster.
Right.
Okay? And especially with children, you have that. They have still this amazing aura field that is very open and bright, and they feel much faster that kind of, I would say, spiky
yeah.
energy coming to them.
Yeah.
And, this is one of the things that is really important to try to get things as curvy as possible
uh-huh.
and, you know, have round things around you. Make sure there's not a sharp edge at you, not a beam above you.
Like make things aerodynamic.
Yeah, make them round and flowing. And even with clothes, you know, I kind of like that, that there's like a little shawl around you and mm-hmm. that your hair is not like straight,
mm-hmm.
a little curl in it or a little, you know, just make things a little bit more fluently flowing. And then life becomes like that.
Right.
You know, if it's in your environment, then your insight will flow better, too.
Absolutely.
And your heart will open up, and your love will flow easier from your heart,
mm-hmm.
because you're not on the edge inside of you.
Right. Now, what you were saying about children just being so available and such bright, shiny lights, and so sensitive to aura fields and things like that, have you noticed, Marie, that when you go into certain establishments where it's a family place, that children are always crying there, and then you go to other places where the children are there, but they're not crying?
Yes. It's quite interesting. Children are an indication also from feng shui, even if you're not sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, you bring your child to bed and it's always crying,
uh-huh.
it's possible that child, it's the only way perhaps it can tell you, I really don't like it here.
Right.
You know, do something about it.
Uh-huh.
And because it cannot say, well, I don't feel great in my aura field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells you something. So if it, of course, a child can cry because it's tired, but if you see there's like not really a reason why it's crying, it's telling you something.
Mm-hmm.
And a child, specifically when the stress energy of a house, there's a lot of geopathic stress, like a lot of water running under the house,
mm-hmm.
and they're sleeping on that, the babies are criers.
Right.
And the baby actually will be also peeing a long time in their bed.
Right.
Okay.
And hard to potty train.
Yeah, and very hard to potty train because there's so much water under the ground is that their bladder is really under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole brain is under pressure. And one of the things we've tested, and it's really interesting, is that when you bring somebody in an area that is not feng shui, it's not doused, that, you know, it's like a regular thing that most people have in their brainwaves, beta brainwaves.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're not so concentrated, not so inspired, they're kind of, you know, normal status.
Mm-hmm.
But when you feng shui and douse a place, within 3 seconds, you bring this person back, the brainwave scan showed alpha brainwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Within 3 seconds, the brainwaves react to it.
Right.
And I can show this actually with muscle testing, too. You know, the moment you change something, it's like immediately our system becomes strong, and people that are more sensitive, they feel immediately something shifting in their body. So that environment is immediately giving you an impact within you.
Right. And we're made up mostly of water anyway.
Yes, we are.
And that's why the full moon affects our brains.
Yes,
it totally does.
But also, you know, feng shui means wind and water, you know.
Ah.
So if you would say create a flow of qi, then the prana will flow better, as the I would say the divine wind in everything, but also the water that is in the air will actually flow better, and that will affect also your breathing. It will affect your water level, and when all that is, you know, the wind and water inside of you will make your immune system much stronger. Your mind will be much clearer. Your decision making is much easier. It's like things become open and clear because your environment is that way.
Right, right. So I feng shuied my place with a compass and a book, mm-hmm. and the minute that I finished doing that, my sleep improved, how I felt in my home improved. I didn't always want to be gone somewhere. I wanted to stay in my home. It was hard for me to leave after that. And I noticed that just a few things that I did, like place mirrors in specific places that would reflect light back, and not to put a candle in front of a mirror, and all kinds of different things. And I feng shuied my bedroom, and I've done some things, Marie, that attracted my wonderful life that I have today. And one of them was I went to Macy's and bought a men's robe when I was single, and it was beautiful blue velvet Tommy Hilfiger. And I bought matching slippers. I didn't care what size they were. I just saw what I liked, and I got it. I got the slippers and the robe. Then I took about a month to shop for a fragrance, a men's fragrance. And I took so long to find this fragrance because I knew it was what I wanted to smell for the rest of my life on the person. And I was hootless, completely not caring if I actually had a relationship or not. It was just for fun that I did this. And I put the robe in my closet and the slippers under my bed, and I spritzed the cologne a little bit every night before I went to sleep. And a year later, through some wonderful, happy incidences, the shoes were a perfect fit, the robe was a perfect fit, and the love of my life has gone through two bottles of the Givenchy cologne, which he calls Manifesto Man, and we're getting married in March of 2009.
Well, and congratulations.
Thank you. And I know that had something to do with it. And my idea of feng shui combined with laws of attraction, by having done that, the shoes fit imperfectly, and they're 9.5. That's not your normal size.
No, it's not.
So I have my Cinderfella, and I believe that having done something like that without really being attached to any outcomes was an important part of where my life is right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm totally sure. You know, one of the major things in feng shui is intention.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually put some things out, and based even on a book or a great study, you know, and you can put things, but if there's not the right intention behind it,
mm-hmm.
it's not that strong.
Right.
It won't manifest. Mm-hmm. So I always suggest to my students and clients, you know, when you put something out, put it with the intention of heart and why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is your personal success direction. Okay? Go to that personal success direction and hang there your vision board, or hang there the products or the images or the dreams you have, you know, or books on success, place them there. But each time you place it there, do it with the rightful heart.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like, oh, I will try this out. No, it's going to work, but it is going to work a lot longer.
Uh-huh.
It takes much more time because it's not the right intention.
Right.
You know, the universe is built up on information and energy, as Einstein is saying. So feng shui is the information, but the energy behind it is
mm-hmm.
as important.
Right.
So what you did is, I would say, great bedroom feng shui.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm sure he loved the color, too. You
know? Oh, yes. Perfect.
Yes.
What's his favorite color? Blue.
And so, but you put an intention on it, but you just didn't do it once. You did it, you know, after, you know, day after day after
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
So you created an energy force field
mm-hmm.
that went out. And you have to understand, I say to people, whatever you do in your environment, it gives the message 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't really understand it always so well, but you have to think about, if you do an affirmation,
mm-hmm.
okay, if you do a meditation, you know, perhaps you take perhaps an hour, perhaps 5 minutes. That's only 5 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
While your environment is telling the universe it 24 hours a day, if you think about it or not.
Right, right. And I think we have a caller, Marie. Do we have a caller? Hello? Anybody there? I thought I heard a caller come in. I guess not. So what you're saying is the universe is activated 24 hours a day, and if you have an intention, you're only doing 5 minutes a day, then you're not energizing that intention with energy in the amount that will actually bring it about or bring it to fruition.
Yes.
In a timely manner, or make it last for any amount of time.
Well, you know, one of the things that I always give as an example is, you know, when I came to America almost 7 years ago, I put in my personal success direction a vision board, and I put an index card on, you know, in 2006, I want to be in a movie seen by hundreds of millions of people
mm-hmm.
that will transform the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a fake Oscar out, okay, with my name on it, Marie
right.
Diamond, 2006,
mm-hmm.
and that's when The Secret came out.
Right.
Now, you have to understand, I came to America, I had no idea about anybody that is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know of their existence, I didn't know about the Bob Proctors and the Jack Canfields,
mm-hmm.
I had no idea about who they are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I come from Belgium, and I'm not very focused on all these wonderful people at that time. So, but within, I would say, a year, I was already advising Jack Canfield his home and office.
Nice.
So it's like I put that there, but it just not put it there alone. I was reading it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of, you know, going to my Oscar and, like, looking at it with proud, you know, I'm going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this vision board, and I bless it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I wave to it when there's people on, and like, okay, hi, how are you? And I make it very alive, like what you did with your perfume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You made it alive. It was not just like putting your slippers there and the robe there. You know, you made it alive with the perfume.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your environment, you have to keep it making alive. That means, you know, sometimes you have to change it. You have to look at it. You have to make sure it's cleaned. You know, it's nicely placed. Keep the order going. Keep putting energy in it, because then the universe is saying, well, she's really, really interested, or he's really, really focused on this.
Uh-huh.
Let's make this happen.
Well, I see the universe saying, I heard that, at your service.
Yes.
And just a fun little tidbit about the robe, slippers, and cologne. I was so excited over The Secret when I first saw it that, and I've been living my life that way my whole life, and I do business that way, that I put The Secret logo on my website. And who I manifested with the robe, slippers, and cologne is the publicist that launched The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that interesting?
Well, you definitely attracted a very great way.
I did. And it's just the most beautiful thing. You know, I'm writing a book called No Sex in the City, and it's all about the law of attraction and what you set your intentions on and what is your purpose for wanting to be in relationship. It's really looking at the purpose for relationship, and my purpose for relationship is to raise frequency on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and to raise consciousness. And I believe that all relationships are to raise consciousness, and through the byproduct of raising consciousness, to get us conscious becomes happiness and joy. Because when your consciousness is raised, you finally are present, and you finally can find and attract the happiness and joy that you've been wanting and longing for. And it's through the relationship is, I believe, here to get us conscious. And, you know, when you look at why are you in relationship, why are you wanting to be in relationship, and really break it down and set your intention, as you were saying, have the right intention and go work it through from that intention of why you want to be in that relationship, I believe you'll attract the perfect person for you without having an attachment on an outcome, and they'll show up maybe looking completely different than you thought you wanted.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they don't always come the way you want them to look. But actually, after, you know, you realize that that person resonates with that energy that you've been living from the end result from, then you go, that is the one. That is the person. And the outside doesn't really matter so much, because the inside is what you've been drawing to you. And then the inside and the outside suddenly match. Does that make
sense? Well, that makes total sense. And, you know, the thing about it that, you know, for me that I've been bringing forward as a vision is to have a double happiness, okay?
Yes.
So the double happiness is to have the happiness inside of you, but at the same time to reflect that happiness around you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will start with raising the frequencies inside of them,
mm-hmm.
but some people really have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, feng shui and dowsing is an excellent way to start, especially also if you want to raise the vibration of your family and they're not so much into spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and by changing the environment, it's so beautiful to see that their inner frequencies start really uplifting and, mm-hmm. and being raised without their personalities or ego to, you know, to really get in resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's really a big thing, that, you know, you want to raise the vibration of others, but their ego is in the way.
Right.
Okay, so, and the environment is a magnificent way to do this.
Right.
And I've seen so many people that were like, they, you know, for example, their wife or their husband brings me in, or somebody from the business, and I come in, and, you know, after a few hours, they're all talking this language already.
Mm-hmm.
Because I come totally without any judgment, with a heart of compassion to them,
uh-huh.
wherever they are in their evolution. And it makes so much sense, because I tell them what is going on. They don't have to tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the environment, and I'm telling, this is what's going on inside of you.
Uh-huh.
And how do you know that? It's like the man in The Secret said, are you clairvoyant or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, yes and no, because, you know, you're just reading what is the outside, because that's what they reflected.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so if I come in somebody's home and say, this is what's going on right now here, and they're like, how do you know? I said, well, because you placed this here, and this has been your inside, you have been reflecting that. So let's turn that page around and hang something different, play something different. And what happens is the insides start changing. And so many people have, you know, received that blessing that, you know, their family started being changed, their spouse or their partner changes for the good.
Mm-hmm.
And without them pushing anymore for that spiritual journey, because the change starts within,
right,
by doing the outside.
Right.
And it's so amazing that people said, you know, can you imagine my partner is now going to a spiritual class with me, and you know, he's going to a homeopath, and
great.
It's amazing to see this shift happening because it's so visible, it's so easy, so fast that they say, yeah, there is something, and they don't have to do so much work.
It just happens. Yes. Hey, I think we have a caller. I keep hearing beeps, and that means we have a caller. Do we have a caller?
Yes.
Who is that?
It's Joyce Schwartz, Kate.
Hi, Joyce.
How are you? Hello, Marie.
Hello, Joyce.
Good. I have a question. My brother is in the hospital for a couple of weeks. He's coming out in a couple of weeks, and I'm just wondering what he can do to change the feng shui of his hospital room, if that's possible. I've got him. He has already made a health and wellness vision board, and he's reading some positive books and all that, but I'm just wondering, what can you do, especially if, like, half of the room is for your roommate?
Okay. Well, what you can do, you can go to mariediamond.com, and on the website there's some free gifts. And you can actually go to the free gifts and put in his birthday, and then you will get a response. You can actually find then the personal health direction.
Okay.
You will get four best directions, one for success, one for health,
mm-hmm.
one for relationships, and one for wisdom. But you need the health one. Okay.
Okay.
And then you have to take a little compass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you go to the center of that place where he's laying,
mm-hmm.
and then you find where that direction is.
Okay.
But if you tell me his birthday, I'm going to tell you right away.
Okay, it's January 13th, 1954.
It is Southwest.
Okay.
Okay, now people that have Southwest, there's also, you can look into the chart, Southwest people, this year, especially this month, because their cycles are more likely to have surgery.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm really not kidding.
Ah.
Okay. So I'm not saying that's for everyone, but it's more likely. So there's a huger possibility for them. Okay. So put in the Southwest, you know, his health vision board, but also make sure you add a blue item.
Blue. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
like
what I was wondering.
Something blue. Okay. Because he needs to calm down the fire. He's more possible to have, problems with his blood pressure, more likely to have aggravation of situation. So you have to calm it down. Or even a little bowl of still water in the Southwest.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, that's very simple. Thank you very much. I knew you would have something good.
Well, it's so great to hear you. Thank you.
You take care. Bye. Thanks,
Bye.
Kate.
Okay. Bye. Oh, that was great. What a small world it is.
It is.
Joyce is really great. You know about her vision board book, right?
Yes, I'm having a little article in the vision board. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
She mentions us in her book as well, and that was just life. I have a Katie-ism, and it goes like this: synchronicity is divinity showing off. And the whole meeting with Joyce Schwartz has been so synchronistic. I mean, it's just, the minute we met, I let her know about all these people in my life, and they immediately ended up in her book. So it was really great.
That's great.
Right. It's just, you know, we were just thrilled to help her out. And what a great, great book that she's got there. I wanted to ask you before we go, Marie, about the inner diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been doing that for about 13 years.
Yes.
And you started that in Europe?
Yes, I did.
And we only have, like, about 6 minutes. I'd like to get a good sense of that before we go. And to give people your website again, it's mariediamond.com, MarieDiamond.com, and diamond is my birthstone.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's very good. I like
mine too.
Oh, good.
So the inner diamond. Well, it actually started when I was remember I was sharing with you about when I was 15, I had this near-death experience. And I was actually, you know, also having a lot of trouble with memory and after that accident. And, you know, my health was really not doing very well. And so I asked my spiritual master, you know, is there anything I can do to improve all this? And he said, well, you know, you can study and you can live from your ego or you can live from your soul.
Mm-hmm.
That you need to really, this is time now to live completely from your soul. So he brought in some information for me to really connect in with that soul frequency and to also protect yourself from anything outside of you that, you know, is kind of vibration is a little bit lower than the ones you really want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a whole bunch of information between my 15 and my 27. And this master appeared, it's an ascended master, Master Saint Germain.
Mm-hmm.
And he appeared the first time when I was 7. So he was like coming and giving me all this information. And he gave me over this 24 colors that are quantum colors.
Uh-huh.
And these are colors that work for everyone. And by using them in meditation and radiating them,
mm-hmm.
because they have specific enlightened values,
mm-hmm.
that actually the energy in yourself and in your environment is shifting. And we're using the same colors also in the diamond feng shui to activate, like what I said about the blue, to put the blue specifically in the southwest this month is really crucial for this person.
Right.
So you actually work with colors. And this is something that I received, and I'm very grateful that I was able to be the co-creator, because you always create with God,
mm-hmm.
And the higher beings of light. And to actually making sure that these colors came forward. And so people are trained in the inner diamond with these colors, but also how to radiate them for specific purposes in the world. And I've been using that myself. There are about 10,000 students worldwide that are doing this daily.
There's wow.
Amazing, very well-known people that are using it before they go on television
right.
to really make sure they each time they have the right intention.
Mm-hmm.
And colors are beyond culture.
Right.
They're beyond religion. So I have people from all kinds of religions, all kinds of spiritual background that are using them so that they can actually connect with anybody else to just become a certain color. So like I go to a shopping center, before I go in, I tune in, okay, what do the people need to hear? And so instead of holding the intention of a word, you become a color and you radiate that. And it's amazing, powerful what people experience. And so people have done the results that then people bring them these colors.
Right.
It's like the resonance and synchronicity is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually what the inner diamond is about. There are different stages, and several people have reached enlightenment by practicing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple, very I call it a fast track meditation. You need like 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening. I do it even faster.
Fast track.
Fast track, because hey, I'm a busy
people.
And I wanted to do this because I asked my master, look, I don't have time for hours of meditation. I will be very busy in my life. I know this. And I want to bring it as fast as possible to the world. So the first meditation is called the Tubes of Light, to be totally in that, I would say, totally zone of light. It's like you become totally the higher frequency in every cell of your body, in every part of your aura field. You become that, and you become actually what we call a total wizard.
Hmm.
And the wizard in the way that it's the art of wisdom. You allow the art of wisdom.
Hmm.
So when I started doing this, I started studying that way because my memory loss was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I had no short-term memory anymore.
Mm.
So I could not study. And so what I was doing, I went to meditation, I was reading everything. And then when I had a test, I went back to that field, I call it the quantum field,
mm-hmm.
and I just downloaded what I put there. And sometimes I was just writing everything down. I'm like, okay, I hope this is something.
You're right.
Because I didn't remember.
Yeah.
So, and this is actually how I've been working. So when I speak or I'm teaching, I have no papers with me.
Yes.
I totally download the energy.
You channel.
And I'm always surprised that it's like, it's always, you know, the same exercises come back, so there's something somewhere, a great database up there.
Yep. I have one too, and I understand completely. When you're channeling, you can just relax and trust and give yourself over and surrender to the beings of light to communicate through you as the vessel what they need the world to know.
Well, you know, to be honest, I don't think it's really that. It's really your own I Am presence, really your own energy field, your own quantum creation. It's not about channeling. I'm not channeling.
What I mean by channeling is you're allowing divine energy to come through you.
That is true.
That's
and it's not that there's a being saying that. It's my own divine being.
Oh, no, it is your own divine being.
But yeah, totally.
Right, yes.
So it's not something else. I just
it's true. And we're coming up on the very end of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you it would go by so fast, and it did. I hope you'll come back and be on our show again. Marie Diamond at mariediamond.com. Please visit her website, So Within, So Without, So Without, So Within. And just bring everything you need and want into your life the feng shui way, and give Marie Diamond, send her an email, ask her some questions, take a course, and really utilize this wonderful information, because everything is indeed energy. And Marie, thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
Well, thank you so much. It was so wonderful, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my information, and have a wonderful double happy life.
Thank you. Right back to you. Good night, everybody.
Bye.